Good morning and welcome to Launch, where we interview inventors, innovators, and entrepreneurs. We are broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Ron Reardon, and I'm joined in the studio with our producer, Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee. How are you doing this fine Thursday?
I am doing great. I'm excited about today's show.
Okay, I am too. You know, on Launch, we provide our listeners with the opportunity to learn from the successes and failures of others that have launched their idea and the journey that followed. This morning, we're featuring Steve Greenberg of Innovation Insider and author of Gadgetation. But before we get started, I want to thank our sponsors, Patents & Moore. Patents & Moore has been protecting innovations for individuals and entrepreneurs since 2002. Our guest today is Steve Greenberg, author of Gadget Nation, Innovation Insider. He's a member of the UIA board, a frequent guest on several local and national television programs such as NBC's Today Show. And Steve will be discussing what it takes to get your product showcased on television. Steve, welcome to the studio.
Thanks so much. It's really a pleasure to be here. I've heard about the show. I've listened to the show. It's great to actually be on it. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Well, Steve, tell us just a little bit about your background.
Well, it's, oh my gosh, kind of long and sordid trail that got me here. But the shorter side of it is I was a television news reporter for about 10 years. Mostly focusing on science, technology, and medicine. I ultimately ended up at a station in Miami where I did that for a CBS station for about just under 10 years. And from there, I wanted to break out, actually wanted my own show. I did some work on Home and Garden Television, on a show called Team Builders, and from there, a show called Your New House. And when I did Your New House, my segment was called Check This Out, which was all about really cool gadgets and interesting products that homeowners might be interested in. So from doing that show, I had a large inventor following. I started hearing from inventor after inventor, and I started becoming aware of this whole niche that I had been unaware of before. Though my dad had been a patent filer, my brother had filed some patents. I'm actually outdoors in Houston, and of course there's a little bit of ambient noise with a little ambulance going by here. But otherwise, so that's really how I kind of got first involved in the invention, the whole invention niche. And it, of course, I got the idea of doing a TV show about invention called Gadget Nation. The TV show didn't happen, but someone suggested I turn it into a book, and that's how the book was born.
You know, I've read that book, and I think it's one of the finest books out there for people that are starting off with innovations and inventions. Because if you could sit down with 100 different inventors and find out what they did right and did what they did wrong, you know, it'd be a tremendous learning experience, and that's what that book provides.
Yeah, it's really like it's fun, hopefully, but it's case studies when you really extract it, where you hear about and what's it's a real good slice of garage inventors, quote unquote, because you've got housewives and attorneys and the plumbers and contractors, all different folks who have come up with an idea, and then their journey, how it went for them. Some are making millions. Others have lost hundreds of thousands of dollars. And for the person reading the book, they get a sense that this is not an easy road and what they should be aware of as they head down the path of invention.
Yeah. Now, did you think your background as a journalist gave you some unique perspective in this?
Absolutely. I mean, even though I'm a TV guy and I'm used to doing TV journalism stories, the book, the way that each chapter is written or each profile is written, it's written the way I'd write a TV news story. It's, track, sound bite, only all in print. So it's very conversational, but I also, I think as a reporter, I was always very good at getting to what's the most interesting aspect of the story. I mean, people tell their story about invention and it can be 45 minutes long or longer. My job was to grab the, 500-600 words that really caught the most interesting twist in their story, and so that each story would be a little bit different. So I think absolutely having a journalism background was a big help in doing it.
I know when I read the book, when I read about the successes, I always, I'm asking the question, were these guys just lucky, right place, right time, or was there really a methodology, or approach that they did that's repeatable? And then when I look at the failures, it's like, boy, note to self, don't do that,
Yeah, I mean, sometimes some people have made some really big mistakes, or they didn't realize what they were getting into when they started this whole thing. I think most people you know, you don't, most of us don't go to school to be inventors. You go to school to be a teacher or a doctor or a lawyer or whatnot, and then all of a sudden you have this idea, and then you go into this path with really no knowledge of what's ahead of you. So mistakes are made, and people don't realize the kind of commitment, financial, emotional, spiritual, that goes into taking a product to market. And so a lot of mistakes are made by a lot of folks. And the ones that get it right, sometimes there is some luck in it. Sometimes there's the smarts to leave enough money behind for marketing, which a lot of folks don't do. All of those things kind of all help in making a success or a failure.
Okay. Well, why is it important to get products on various television shows?
Well, you know, buying TV time is crazy expensive. Buying internet time, you know, being, you know, where you a pop-up ad or whatnot, is all very expensive. And most inventors don't have that kind of money. But you can get your product on television editorially, meaning just part of a segment that, for example, that I do. So if you have, if your product has certain elements to it and it's pitched in the right way, you can get a lot of free press. And that press can really give your product legs. And sometimes one bit of press gives you more press and so on and so forth. So it's important for inventors to be aware of that and pursue it. And I think that's a really great, great angle for an inventor to get their product out to the marketplace, get the world to hear about it without spending a lot of money.
Well, you know, you've got a real distinctive voice, Steve. And the other day, well, I mean, back before Christmas and everything, I was kind of channel surfing, and all of a sudden I heard your voice on a TV show where you were talking about different products and gadgets for Christmas. And it just, you know, immediately I stopped. It's like, I know who this is, you know.
Well, you know, I have definitely a cartoon character voice, as I've been told. So for better or worse, this is the one I have. But, yeah, no, right now, for example, I'm in Houston. I'm shooting a segment for a show called Mirror Mirror, where we're going to showcase some fitness gadgets for a Disney Channel show. And then tomorrow, still in Houston, I'll be doing Great Day Houston, which is a local talk show, and I'll be showcasing green gadgets on that. At the end of the month, I'm on the Today Show doing green gadgets again. So I'm pretty active in showcasing products. And there are other people like me. I'm not the only one in the world doing this. But it's important for inventors to know us and to pitch us their product ideas. I'm on Facebook. If you go to Steve Greenberg, Innovation Insider, I have a fan page there. And I post on that fan page things like, I'm looking for fitness products. I'm looking for green gadgets. I'm looking for whatever I'm looking for at that moment. So if an inventor is savvy enough to keep paying attention to that fan page, they'll say, oh, my gosh, I've got a fitness product. I should tell them about it. Boom. Let me know about it. I'll respond. And if the product fits the niche and the producer likes it as well, it goes on TV. So by following me and the other folks who do what I do on television, you can get your product on TV.
Now, what are the odds for a person? Like, out of how many submissions do you get, and how many people actually make the air typically?
That's a very good question. You know, it's not as bad as you think. I probably, for the Today Show, for example, I'll probably submit 35 ideas of products, and they'll pick their favorite 8 to 10. So it's not, and the 35 I'm getting are from ones that have just been thrown my way. Now, sometimes I just see a product that's just not a fit for it, and I eliminate it right at that point. So maybe the odds are a little bit less than that. But generally, I'm looking for products that fit what I think are good demonstrable products. And these are things that I'm looking for. And I'd say producers are looking for the same thing. And probably even the print folks and reporters all have the same. You want something that's got either a lot of wow to it, that can be explained very quickly. You got to be able to explain it in a sentence or two. And for me, with television, if it's a fun demonstration, I'm all over it. Because that makes my segment better, makes me look better. And it's the kind of product I want to do. So fun demonstration is also important. If it has those elements, you've got a better than even chance of getting some press.
So what are TV producers looking for? I mean, in addition to the wow, is it has to fit a particular theme?
Well, I think TV producers generally, and what you should be doing as an inventor at home, is looking at the world around you, the media around you, and saying, hey, would my product fit into that show? So, for example, if you've got a cooking gadget, you know, you might want to approach Martha Stewart or Rachel Ray. If you've got a medical, a health gadget, you might want to be approaching the producers at Dr. Oz, your local newspaper, your local television station, if they have a talk show, if it's a hard news show where they just do traffic and accidents and that kind of stuff, speaking of traffic and accidents, very nice there. If you just do the sound effects, I threw in there.
Yeah, that was
good.
If
they just do traffic connections, thank you. If they just do traffic, it's not the show for you. But if they have a talk show where they do interviews, where you can see yourself on that show, then that's a great show to find out who, you know, make some phone calls, call up the station, find out who the producer is, and pitch yourself and your product to them.
Now, how often do you pitch? Like, do I send you the stuff right away, or do I send you an email and see if you're interested? Like, what's the process look like?
Well, I mean, you can always just reach out to me and let me know about your product, and for the most part, I try and remember it, but you know, I don't really have a great system for keeping track of all, because I do get a lot of that. But you know, sometimes a product just really has a lot of wow to it, it sticks in my head for a very long time. Probably a better system is to do what I was saying before. If you follow me on Facebook, and when you see me asking for a fitness product, for example, or a medical or a health or whatever the niche is that I'm looking for at that moment, if you reach out to me with a product that fits that niche at that moment, I'm going to be all over it. You will hear back from me immediately. I'm going to want some details, and so I can put it together and send it off to the producer.
But I don't have to ship you my product. I just have a conversation via email or Facebook with you?
Yeah, I think just sending me an email or just through Facebook saying, hey, I've got an exercise product that involves, you know, standing on my head and pedaling, and this thing is going to be so hot you can't believe it. It's available right now on my website, blah, blah, blah. It costs, you know, $72. Just get me some basic facts on it, a couple sentences, maybe a photograph, and I'm there.
But once you find something that you kind of resonates and fits what you're looking for, I mean, isn't the inventor going to need to send you one to be able to demonstrate on the show?
Well, if it gets selected, I mean, I live in a small place and I have enough products sent to me already. So don't send me the product. But if it gets selected, then yes, you're going to have to have that product available for us to showcase on television, in my case. Even print people, they're going to want to see the product and play with it. Everybody's going to want to actually hold the product. And for my needs, the product has to be available for purchase. If it's still in the prototype stage, if it's still you're still looking for a manufacturer, I'm not as interested in it. If it's already available, that I can buy it on your website or I can buy it someplace, then I'm more interested in it. That's just the rule that the TV shows generally have with me.
Okay, so one tip is that in order to increase the chances of landing the product on TV, it's got to be ready for sale.
Yeah, you've got to be ready, exactly, because the idea is that I'm showing the viewers cool new products that are out there that they can purchase. So if it's not purchasable, then they're less interested in the product.
Okay. Well, what can an inventor expect after their product's on TV? Will the sales actually just skyrocket and take off?
That's a great, great question, because I think people's expectations are way out of line with reality. I mean, I'm on just going by my own experience. I'm selling my book, Gadget Nation. So every time I appear on TV, I mention my book, and that's my product that I'm pushing out there. I can go on the Today Show, big audience, and only sell some copies. I mean, every time I go on TV, my website gets more activity, gadgetnation.net. More people turn, check it out. So that's nice. But it's not.
It's not Oprah story. Sales. You're not.
It's not exactly. It's not a life changing day for me. The exception to that was I was in Parade magazine about a year ago, and that was huge. I got an amazing amount of sales, an unbelievable amount of hits. But that's just the way. And by the way, it's a small blurb. It was like three sentences with a little tiny picture of the book cover. Looking at it, it looked like nothing compared to 6 minutes on the Today Show. But yet, it just skyrocketed for me. That was a huge chunk of sales.
Now, isn't that an important lesson for inventors in general, is that not every medium has the juice you think it does in terms of moving product. And some things are better than others, as you found, right? But the things that are the big home run things are kind of few and far between, aren't they?
Exactly. I have a good in my book, for example. There's a very silly product called Gas Be Gone. It's a pad that for bodily gases. When you sit on it in your office or whatnot, it muffles the sound and absorbs the odor. And it's a silly little product. These folks you know, I've had a lot of free press because it's a silly product and it's got a lot of humor behind it. So it's done very well. But until it appeared on CNBC's Squawk Box, which is a TV show where about five guys sit around and talk about different stocks and whatnot, they found this product or was handed to them. They started joking about it. They talked about it. I guess one of the guys on the panel has an issue with bodily gases. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, their sales went through the roof. So sometimes it's the right venue at the right time with the right audience. Everything comes together in a certain way. Boom, you can get unbelievable sales. But generally, it's not that way. Generally, it's to get, you know, you'll get a couple of sales. You'll get more, a little more hits on your website. But it's a process. The more exposures you get, the more, you know, you kind of get into the consciousness of the American people, the more your sales, the comfort level goes up for people, the sales go up as well.
Okay, so the inventors don't have to worry about not having enough inventory when they get on TV.
You know, well, you know, inventory, I mean, I always tell, like, sometimes I've had people say, I don't want to be on the show because I don't have the inventory to support it. What if I get too many sales? I say, well, of course, that should be a problem everybody has. I said, the very worst you can do is say, look, people make the order, you don't take their money. And look, we you know, you sell out what you have, and you put on your website that, you know, it's back ordered by 8 weeks or 3 months. Do you still want to buy it then? And just keep their name, and when the product does come in, you can reapproach them. But I don't think inventory should be a reason not to do television. Any opportunity is a great opportunity, and you should take it. The other side to that is, if you're going to be like on, I've done QVC and HSN, you know, those places demand that the inventory is there sitting ready to go. That's a completely different scenario.
Okay. Well, you know, you mentioned Parade Magazine a while ago, and you got good traction on that as far as your book sales. Is that the Parade Magazine that usually comes with the Sunday paper?
Right, right. It's that insert that's in everybody's Sunday paper. You know, but who? I didn't know that people actually spent a lot of time reading it. I mean, I've read it myself, obviously, but you know, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, I was also mentioned in the New York Times. I've been in the L.A. Times, and again, you know, some sales. But that Parade Magazine, I have it for me personally. For Gadget Nation, did great.
Well, you know, back when I used to get the Sunday paper, you know, I would read the Parade Magazine from cover to cover.
Right, you look forward to that, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
And you're not alone. You're not alone. Obviously, it does very well. So I didn't expect. I mean, I was thrilled to get the opportunity, but I didn't know it would have the effect it had, and that was amazing. So that was a learning experience for me. I thought being on the Today Show with my book, you know, I thought I had to get ready for like massive sales, and it wasn't that case. I sold some, but it wasn't like Parade Magazine.
Right. I've heard that with other people that have been on the Today Show and Good Morning America, that the same kind of. That they don't get as big of a bump as they anticipate.
And I think it's a real good learning for the inventors out there. I mean, to look at what I would call non-traditional ways of getting some traction is, you know, Parade Magazine. I don't think most inventors would think about, you know, advertising there or having some kind of blurb in there.
And it's you know, it's a niche thing. You know, you have to have the right product for the right audience. You know, maybe Parade goes across all borders, but the reason the Gas Begon did so well on Squawk Box, it's a mostly male audience, probably in their 50s, and gas is something that they're very familiar with, and I think it was the right audience. The guys were joking about it in the right way, and it just took off. And keep in mind, they weren't a guest on the show talking about the product. They just had a product there, and the hosts were just joking around about it. But there was enough banter about it that fueled a ton of sales for them.
Yeah,
now, it's also important to take those opportunities like you're on the Today Show and leverage that in the future. I mean, I'm sure you mentioned to everybody you talk to that you have a segment on the Today Show. It's not something that's
absolutely
one and done.
And look, you can put on your website. Let's say I bring your product on the Today Show or somebody else does. You can then say, as seen on the Today Show, as seen in Parade Magazine, as seen on Great Day Houston. Those things help, and also help when you go to promote it with another media outlet. When you go to the New York Times, say, hey, by the way, I've been on, you know, Great Day Houston. In all of those links, you keep those links and you send them to other people, it helps. If you're looking for investors, angel investors in your product, or trying to sell your idea to Bed Bath & Beyond, you can take that link from the Today Show, send it to them, and say, hey, look, and, you know, it was shown on the Today Show, and Kathy Lee Gifford went crazy over it, or whatever.
Right.
So you can use it as part of your strategy to better distribution, better better recognition, or getting into another outlet, or getting other media exposure.
Well, you know, should an inventor jump at any opportunity to be on TV, or are there times when they should really pass on a TV opportunity?
I think any opportunity is a good opportunity. I mean, every time you stick your neck out, and that goes for myself as well, every time, you know, there's a chance you can get shot down. There's every chance you can go on the Today Show, and Kathy Lee Gifford could be next to me, and she goes, wow, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. And that may be the case, and you know what? That probably isn't a great media exposure for you, but you know what? I don't think it hurts you in the long run. I think what it does is it, maybe people remember it better when they see that product, when they walk into the store. If they still solve the problem for them, they still might gravitate to it. But you do have to risk. You do realize that you're sticking your neck out, and you might get criticized. The product might not be embraced by the host. Generally, the hosts are kind to the product, but you never know. They have a bad day, and they take it out on your product.
Well, you know, I think once a year at least, Jay Leno on his show would have some inventor segments where the audience would actually vote on, you know, did this sell or did it not? Did they get it licensed or did they not? And, of course, that's, you know, geared towards comedy of everybody laughing at why would anybody buy this product, you know?
And, you know, I think it may hurt you. I mean, if your product is open to criticism, yeah, you're going to get joked around a little bit about it if it's that kind of product. But I still think, you know, they at least spell the name right. Any press is better than no press. I think it's still better than not being recognized at all. It gets you out there, and I don't think it hurts sales. I think it just kind of fuels the world's attention about your product.
Right.
That's my thought.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a net win no matter what happens, even the worst thing that happens. Because people tend to, over time, people forget the bad and they just remember you were on TV.
Exactly. And then you can still say, as seen on The Tonight Show.
Right, even
you
if know, they
no
ripped
one,
it.
No one's
right.
going to remember that exact clip. They're just
exactly.
going to know that you were on The Tonight Show. I think it has, there's more benefit than, there's more upside than downside. And but inventors need to know that, because I've had situations where I've put it on a show, the host has kind of ridiculed it, and the inventor wanted to, you know,
sue them.
You know, take me out and right. you know, kill me. You know, there was no love lost there. I explain to them, look, this happened, and I try to warn people. Sometimes I forget to. And that's important to do that. Look, every time you're on live television or taped, whatever, you know, the producer and the host have the ability to, maybe make fun of your product, and you just have to take it and.
Right.
And move on.
Exactly.
Yeah, the one I remember from the Tonight Show was the vibrating toilet seat. And the person was actually demonstrating it. And, of course, he was fully clothed. But, you know, he was real excited and says, boy, you know, I'm really getting excited. This feels good. Of course, the audience is laughing. And then they were stunned when they found out he'd actually licensed the product.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing about live television or tape book live television is that it can go anyway. Anything can happen. So that's probably fun. And sometimes a silly thing happens. I had a friend who had a product called Fit and Fold, and I didn't do the segment, so I'm not connected to this other than knowing and he got on the Today Show, Kathy Lee Gifford again, and it was a product that helped you fold fitted sheets and kind of helped them snap together so they lay flat. Frankly, may not be the most important, you know, needed product in the world, but it did what it had to do, Fit and Fold. She had it there, she tried it out, of course she didn't know how to use it properly. No one really instructed her on it. The inventor wasn't there, and she made a mess of it, and she then proceeded to say, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. She kind of threw it in the garbage, and it was a disaster. He was absolutely, destroyed over this. But he was smart enough, and actually a bunch of us told him, hey, don't go there. I said, go make a video clip and say and write to Kathy. We say, hey, I'm the inventor. You didn't do it right. This is how you do it. And then send her that video clip and send it to the producer, which is exactly what they did. They aired his clip on the Today Show. Then they had him back on to show how to do it. So from this terrible thing, it became like a 3-4-part experience where it became almost like an apology. And I think he got a better bang than if it had worked the first time.
Right.
But sometimes you can take a lemon and make it into lemonade.
Right, because you have to understand, the TV person, the producer and all those people, they want good television. That's their objective. So that was good television, and the rebuttal was good television.
And his rebuttal, I mean, he's kind of an offbeat character, I have to say. He's a character, so when he went on, and I knew that, so I said, just take your webcam and say, Kathy Lee, what did you do to me here? And just kind of, just the way he was doing to with me on the phone, and sure enough, boom, the producer recognized that he was a character, that it was funny. They played that clip, and they had him back on. He showed how to do it. It really worked out very well. So you never know, you know. I'm not saying every lemon can be turned into lemonade, but it can happen. You just got to think outside the box a little
bit. I know. If I had been in the audience and I saw Kathy Lee struggling with it, you know, my immediate reaction is, well, you know, Kathy probably doesn't fold her own sheet. She probably has a maid do it for her.
Right.
I think there's some truth in that. And I think also, you know, when I watched it, I was like, well, you know, the producer didn't help her out with this. No one ever showed her how to do this. They just kind of threw it at her. That was not right. And she, with her own frustration, you know, she just took it out on the product. But even she recognized in one of the second or third segments that followed after that, that she had been unfair to the product. So it definitely can be a win-win if played properly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know that, you know, in my household, you know, I know how to fold the top sheet, but I'm clueless as to how to properly fold fitted sheet.
This is kind of a neat little gadget where it has these little snaps that go onto those corners. You can put it in the washer with the snaps. It shows you which one matches with which one, like kind of color-coded, so you know how to fold it up. And you snap it. If you go on YouTube and go to Fit and Fold, you can see, like, video clips all about it. He's all over YouTube, so you can see it there. But he's a clever guy. You know, one of my other hats that I wear is I do a lot of video production. So in his case, I didn't put him on the Today Show, but I produce a couple of video spots for him for the web. So that's how my relationship with Fit and Fold.
Mm-hmm. And that's important. TV, like you mentioned earlier, is it's got to be visually interesting.
Absolutely. And by the way, if you have a visually interesting product, create a little video about it. Spend a couple of $1,000s. Create a really neat little video that demonstrates it. Short and sweet. Put it on YouTube. Then when you're pitching it to a television or print, you can send that link to them so they can just click on it and go, oh, I get the product. Oh, that is cool. So sometimes a little video can make a huge difference in helping to pitch your product and getting it onto television or into print.
And then you're talking like it doesn't have to be professionally produced. You're talking like a little flip camera.
Yeah. I'm thinking with a flip camera you can do it. I mean, depending on the product. I mean, sometimes if you want to get a little bit fancier with it, then you might want to bring in someone else to do it and really, you know, maybe take it to the next level. It depends on the product. In Fit and Fold, he literally hired me, and we did an inexpensive but a more professionally done, because we did kind of a funny routine where we showed a husband and wife fighting. And it was supposed to be a fight. At first, you don't know what they're fighting over. Then you find out they're fighting over folding the sheets, and it turned to a cute little vignette. Mm-hmm. So that worked, and that little video clip is what got him on the Today Show. That got the product on the Today Show the first time.
About that. So, you know, as an inventor, how can I safeguard against a TV segment going against my product?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
I said, how can I safeguard against a TV segment going against my product?
I mean, the best thing you can do is, one, make sure the producer that you finally reach out to and it says, yeah, we want to do this. We don't want you on the show. We just want your product. Please send it to us, and we'll put it on. Make sure they understand, look, here's how you do it. Let's do it together. Call them back up. See if you can arrange a time where you can walk them through the process of using it so the producer really knows how to use it. And then hopefully they'll pass that information along to the host. You probably won't get to talk to the host, but you will get to talk to the producer, whose job is then to bring it to the host and say, here's how you fold it. Here's how you use it. That's one aspect of it. A video clip, again, is a good idea because, again, the host might watch the video clip, so it'll help reinforce in his or her mind how to use the product. And, again, part of it's a crapshoot. You know, you can do everything right, and it can still blow up in your face. But as I said earlier, I think that's still better than not being on TV at all.
Okay. Well, Steve, thank you so much for being on our show. Our listeners have really gotten some great nuggets and learnings that they can use in their launch of their product and journey.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Have people look for me. Again, follow me on Facebook at Steve Greenberg, Innovation Insider. It's a great spot. Also on Twitter at Gadget_Nation and at Steve TV. And I also write for a website called whatswownow.com. And my website is gadgetnation.net.
Okay.
Those are all my plugs.
All right. Thanks again, Steve. That's another great show, Lee. Once again, I'd like to thank our sponsors, Patton & Moore, protecting innovators, inventions for individuals and entrepreneurs since 2002. Tune in each week on Thursdays at 10 a.m. to listen live or go to our website, which is thelaunchhour.businessradiox.com, to listen at your convenience. So until next week, I'm Ron Reardon with our producer, Lee Cantor, signing off on another great session of Launch.